Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you to that wonderful praise team that led us into the throne room this morning. Amen. What an honor to be here with you today. I never take lightly the opportunity to preach, but this is particularly an honor today to be able to be here on this Pentecost Sunday and an opportunity to be a small part of what God is doing in Warsaw. And I look around the room and I'm wondering when the building plans are going to be revealed, because you've got to build to grow. My, what a great crowd in this room today. Amen. I'm thankful for the longtime friendship of the Chandlers. We go way, way, way back and had some good times on softball fields and working in and around the Indiana district. And look at their children. I'm so proud of them. Amen. Amen. And we had such a good time fellowshipping yesterday. It says a lot. It says a lot about people, how they treat people. And the Chandlers treated us so very kind yesterday. First class people. We had such a wonderful time fellowshipping and topped it off with a great meal yesterday evening, and I followed Pastor Chandler's guidance, and we went to a little Italian restaurant here in town, and he said, "I get the sausage and grilled chicken," so I followed suit. So if I'm breathing fire this morning, it's the sausage. We had a great time. Amen. This family is not only important to me, it's important to the kingdom. And that's so very important. It does matter who you are under. That does matter, because the anointing flows down. I honor all the team that was here yesterday, the staff members and ministers that are here. Thank you for your contribution to the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful to have my wife with me today. She has followed me around the world. We've ministered on four continents, and she's prayed hundreds of people through to the Holy Ghost. And I'm just thankful to have her with me, always covering me in prayer. Almost 35 years, and she still likes me most days. So I'm glad to have her here. I love God's people. There's nobody like God's people. Amen. Amen. I have a relevant question to all believers today. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthday of the church. I want you to imagine the world prior to Pentecost, the world without the church. Yes, there were righteous people. But the unified efforts of the church body was born on the day of Pentecost. So it's appropriate today that I'm going to be preaching from the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles today and turn with me to the second chapter of the book of Acts, we're just going to preach on the foundation of this day, why we call this Pentecost Sunday, what it means, what it's all about. We're just going to see what the Lord has for us today. While you're turning there, let me just remind you that you can look all through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. In almost all translations, they all end with the word amen. Meaning, so be it, it's final, it's finished. Amen reflects what has been, but the book of Acts doesn't end with amen, because it's intended to be a continuation into every generation. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want you to join with me right now, and I want you to ask the presence and power of God to rest in on this congregation today, for God to do something powerful. I would love for some people that have never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Would you pray with me right now on that wise? Father, we come to you now asking you, let your presence settle upon this congregation today. Lord, let your Spirit and your power rest upon us. Let the Word of God settle into our spirit, and let the Spirit of God bring life to every person in this room today. Lord, we honor you. We give you glory. We give you praise, and we give you adoration, for there's nobody quite like you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thank him this morning. You may be seated. The word Pentecost is a Greek word signifying the 50th part of something. Among the Jews, it was applied to one of three great feasts, which began on the 50th day after the Passover. The feast began the second day of the Passover. The Passover lamb was slain on the 14th day of the month at evening. And the 15th day of the month was a holy convocation, the proper beginning of the feast. On the 16th day was the offering of the first fruits of harvest. And from that day, we count 7 weeks. 7 weeks, that's 49 days, to the feast called the Feast of Pentecost. So that it occurred 50 days after the first day of the Feast of Passover. This feast is also called the Feast of Weeks because it occurred after a lapse of weeks, or 7 full weeks from the Passover. So I'm going to start with a little bit of teaching today. I've been doing nothing but teaching since I've been here. I'm going to start with a little bit of teaching today, and then we're going to go somewhere in the Spirit. It was also called a harvest festival and was accordingly called the Feast of Harvest. It was for this reason that 2 loaves made of new meal were offered on this occasion as the first fruits. There were a lot of festivals that took place in and around this Feast of Pentecost. There was a reason to celebrate. God had delivered his people out of bondage and had supplied their need. But there is something that one must consider about Pentecost, because up to this point in our text, the Feast of Pentecost lacked any eternal significance. It was a glorified family reunion, if you please. It was time to come together, and yes, they would feast. It was a time of celebration. It was a time to rejoice about what God had done in times before. But this feast had become a mere ritual to Israel. They celebrated it because that time and that day was designed for celebration. They showed up because it was what you do. It's kind of like showing up on Sunday, because Sunday's when we go to church. It's just can easily become ritual. It's just what It's just what we do. But when they left the celebration after the book of Acts, they went back to their homes and their lives differently. But prior to this Acts chapter 2 conversion experience that I read into your hearing this morning, they up until this time, they left the celebration of Pentecost and they went back to their home, to the same old life. And to the same old problems with the same things that they had always dealt with. But this particular year, things seemed to be different as they gathered for their feast. The mood was different in the city of Jerusalem. Maybe it was because just a few weeks before, Jesus had been crucified and their claims that he had resurrected from the grave were spreading all throughout the land. Those who were buying into this story were claiming that they saw Jesus in the city streets. Are you with me this morning? And only a few days before, they were claiming that they had seen him ascend up into heaven in a cloud. And he told them to go and to tarry in an upper room in the city of Jerusalem until they be filled with power from on high. To top all of this off, there was talk about some promise that was going to come to those that believe. They didn't know what it looked like. They had never experienced it. They had never heard anyone speak with tongues before. They had never heard or felt or experienced or been in a setting where people may have been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, on this day in the book of Acts, the Bible says there was a meeting going on in town. About 120 people were gathered that day in the upper room, and there in this little upstairs apartment building downtown Jerusalem, they had a prayer meeting going on in that room. It had become the talk of town. People knew there was something going on there that was so very unusual. They had never had this type a prayer meeting before. They had never had this type of thing happen before. They thought that they had ended everything to do with Jesus when they put him in a grave, when they crucified him and buried him. They thought that was behind us, but now these crazy followers of Jesus, they've now gathered on the Feast of Pentecost in an upper room downtown Jerusalem, and they're praying and they're praying, and the news of this prayer meeting has noised abroad, the Bible said. And on the final day of the feast, they're still there. They're still in the upper room. They're still in this prayer meeting. Something had happened that had never happened before, because Pentecost was about to become more than just a feast day, but now Pentecost was about to become a day for the Holy Spirit outpouring. They didn't know what it looked like, what it felt like, but the Bible gives us just a little insight into what it may have looked like. It said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and most of them were filled with the Holy. No, all of them. Somebody ought to talk back to me just a little bit today. All of them were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Up to this point, Pentecost had just been a celebration with no eternal significance, but now Pentecost has ushered in the power of the Holy Ghost, and it was evidenced by them hearing them speak in another tongue And we know, of course, the lives of people were changed. Lives were literally being transformed from this experience that was happening on the day of Pentecost. People began to question, what must we do? What must we do? And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you this morning that the greatest question that a man can ever ask is, what must I do? And in verse 14, the Apostle Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. These are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." Somebody say, that's me. He goes on in verse 37, and he said, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do?" And Peter, standing up with the other 11, said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." But it didn't stop there. For he said, "The promise is to you, and it's to your children, and it's to those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." How many of you are a witness today that he's still calling men to repentance? He's still filling people with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is still being poured out. That's proof enough that the Holy Ghost is for you. Won't you look at your neighbor and tell him, the Holy Ghost is for me. It's for me and for my children. It's for all those that are afar off. The Holy Ghost is mine. It belongs to me. I have a promise. If I'll be buried with him in water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, there is a promise. That's my part. Repenting is my decision. Baptism is my proclamation of faith. But the infilling of the Holy Ghost is his promise to me and to my children and to all that are afar off. And I know you may have just shown up on this day because Pastor promoted this day, and we're going to have a special guest, and we're going to celebrate Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to have a bake sale, and people are going to pay a whole lot for some sweet treats, and the church is going to benefit. We're going to raise some money, and we're going to punch the clock and say, we got here on Sunday. But I want you to know that we've done more than just show up on this Sunday to celebrate Jesus on a religious holiday, but we've come here to experience the power of the Holy Ghost to change a life. I need some good apostolic people today to engage in what God is wanting to do in this room. I got a feeling today that somebody may have come hungry, and you can leave filled because it's your promise. We've come here today to experience something maybe that you've never experienced before. Or maybe for some, it's been a long time since you have been filled and refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said there are times of refreshing that will come from the Spirit of the Lord. Those times of refreshing won't come from a golf course. They won't come from the pontoon boat. I tell you where those times of refreshing will come. It'll come in the presence of the Lord. If it's been a while since you've had a breakthrough and you spoke with other tongues, you ought to ask the Lord, refresh me today, God, on this Pentecost Sunday. I don't want to just come and go through the motions of a service, but I want to be filled and refilled. Gone are the days of meaningless religious ritualism. The world is looking for something that is real. The world is hungry for something that'll change a life. We're in the cornfields, a little small town. Somebody asked me last night, where's Frankfort, Indiana? You about have to be lost to find it. 45 minutes due north of Indianapolis, somewhere along a train track between Kokomo and Lafayette. A little small town that sprung up in the late 1800s. God called us to that city. When I went there, someone called me on the phone and said, what in the world are you doing? Don't you know that there was a revival that came through that region at the turn of the century? But ever since, that's been a burnt over field. I walked into a church of about 80 people, and we just celebrated 21 years. And about 600 baptisms later, I'm here to tell you that God is still in the saving business. He's still in the Holy Ghost outpouring business. He's still saving and working. It's for you and your children. People are looking for something that can change their life. I went and got haircuts for 4 years. My sweet friend Jamie cut my hair. I would leave with a smell of cigarette smoke and hear the stories of her lifestyle. 4 years of me and inviting her to come to the house of the Lord. After 4 years, on a Sunday morning, the doors opened about halfway through service, and we were worshiping. And in walks Jamie, and in walks her friend. I thought was her husband. I introduced him as her husband. They came. I told her, for 4 years, Jamie, I'm saving you a seat right on the front row. She came in and took me up on it. I got up and preached, and I waxed eloquent that day. And I preached a complex message, and I was in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I tied it all together, put a fancy little bow on it. I preached a message I thought would thrill everybody. The elder saints were back there. Ooh, man, that's great. I walked down off the pulpit. I was so thankful that God had anointed me that day. I walked up to Jamie. She looked at me, had tears in her eyes. She said, Pastor, I love you, but I have no idea what you just said. Because she had no foundation to begin with. And what I thought through our Pentecostalism was great preaching to the lost world, it meant nothing. But she said, I felt something I've never felt before. She said, I'll be back next Sunday. About 4 years has passed, and Jamie's brought her two daughters that she said, would you pray? One came from a life of drugs. One came from an alternative lifestyle. Now has been baptized in Jesus' name. Sits on the first or second row, married to a man with a changed life, and things turn. I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Counseling can't get us there. Nothing can get us there except the power of the Holy Ghost to break addictions, to break lifestyles, and to make us whole. 4 years ago, he walked into our church. He was a rough-looking dude. Came off the streets of Los Angeles. He came to a little small town of Frankfort, Indiana, because he was running from the gang that he was assigned to. He was trying to get away and running for his life, and he came to hide. He got there, ran into a friend in the drug world that he was running in, that said, I want to bring you to church because I got this real cool church down here I want to take you to. He showed up on a Sunday morning with about 25 men. They filled up the first, second, third row. There were odors in that room I've never smelled before. It was a mix of B.O., marijuana, and who knows what else. Church began to happen that day. Some of them came to the altar. Hector walked to the front of that room. He prayed for a little while. The Lord spoke something powerful to me that day, and I walked over to Hector and I said, "Have you ever met me?" He said, "No." I began to speak some things over his life standing in the altar. I began to tell him what God had spoken to me about his life. He began to reveal to me, he said, "Pastor, I've been on the streets since I was 11 years old. I have lived on the streets of Los Angeles. All I know is gangs and drugs and the lifestyle of homelessness. I don't know what it's like to live a normal lifestyle like you. I don't know what it's like to be in church. I've never been to anything other than my grandma's assembly that she goes to." And said, "I've been there a time or two, but I don't really know about it. But there's something different about all of this." I said, "Hector, God is going to deliver you from everything, from all of your addictions." 4 years later, Hector's got a good job, living in a nice home, living in the city of Frankfurt, working under the direction of his pastor, showing up every day to church. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, God is able to do what nobody else can do. But he's not just the God of the down and outer. We celebrate that. But I'll never forget, it was a Mother's Day Sunday. I had asked many times through my pastorate about Sister Stephanie's husband, Denny. He was a large man, about 6'6", 400 pounds. He was strong. He always had a look on his face that looked something like it said, "I'm about to tear your world apart." God put something in my spirit for Denny, and I started praying for Denny. I asked somebody that was related to him that had known Denny a long time, and they were saved, sanctified, and set free, but their faith was so low regarding Denny. Here's what they said: "I don't believe Denny will ever be saved." I'll never forget that Mother's Day when Denny walks in the back doors of the church, and he turned and looked at one of our ushers, pastor, and he said, his words, "Reckon a fella could get baptized around here today." "Denny, I don't think he'll ever be saved. Denny, we baptized him in Jesus' name. He came to the front of that room, and that big, strong, staunch-looking face began to shift, and all of a sudden tears started streaming down his face, and he began to repent of his sinful lifestyle, and God filled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking with other tongues. And I stood before his coffin a few months ago, and I was able to say, this man knows about mercy. This man knew about grace. And that grace and that mercy can reach the down and outer, but it can also reach the up and outer. Doesn't matter what background you came from. It doesn't matter what your story is. I just want to tell you this morning that there is a God that is here. His presence and power is here. His spirit is here and available to you. And he wants to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. If you've never been filled, I want to tell you it's your promise. It's not hard. All you got to do is be baptized, repent of your sins, and it is your promise. I believe God's commissioned me to come to this pulpit today as a messenger of deliverance for somebody in this room. God wants to deliver you from your faithlessness where you think it's not for you and you think God's not going to do it for you. I'm telling you, I've seen people pray through to the Holy Ghost that have lived for 30 or 40 years seeking for the Holy Ghost, and God's never filled them. And I've seen them walk to the front on a morning just like this and lift their hands and declare, "Today is my day," and God fill them with the Holy Ghost. It can happen to you today if you're hungry. Maybe you've been living in spiritual poverty. Maybe it's been a long time since you've been filled or refilled with the Holy Ghost. Maybe you feel like your bank account spiritual bank account is overdrawn or maybe even bankrupt, this can be the day of change for you. This can be the moment that God turns things around. Come on, you got to engage with me. I'm not going to be much longer, but we need some folks that engages in prayer. Some of the saints of God need to engage right now. God can do something in this room, but there's going to have to be some faith let out. We're going to have to allow some faith to begin to work. Anybody in this house ready to see change in some lives? Anybody ready to say it? It's me. I want change in my life. It may be dark in your world, but God can turn that light on today. Maybe you've had weeks, months, or maybe years of turmoil and pain and bondage and abuse and heartache and trouble. But in one instant, God can turn things around in your life today. And God has sent this preacher to Warsaw, Indiana on a Sunday morning to do more than just come and let you get to know who I am and me get to know who you are. But I've come on assignment of the Holy Ghost today to tell somebody today can be your day. He'll fill a backslider. He'll refill a saint. He'll turn your life around. Won't you just turn to your neighbor right now and tell him, I'm here for change today. Come on, do you mean that? I'm here for change today. Maybe you've been living a life that's faithless. Maybe you need to step forward in faith and declare, you know what? I'm tired of coming to church and just saying I kind of know what to expect. One of the greatest compliments, a young lady moved to our church. She came to Purdue University for 4 years, and 6 years maybe it was. And after leaving with her doctorate degree, she decided to stay in our church. When I asked her why she made the decision to stay in Frankfort and not move back to her home church, she said, because this church is different. She said, when I walk in the doors, I never know what to expect. But I do expect God is going to show up. Come on, that needs to be the testimony of this church. No telling what God's going to do. Somebody's going to get delivered. Somebody's going to be baptized. Somebody's going to receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to get their miracle. Somebody's going to be healed. I saw a brother come forward today that's getting ready to have some testing. God can heal you before you ever go into the testing. You can walk in and the doctors say, we're not finding anything. And the world says, well, there never was anything. Maybe, just maybe, it was right here this morning at the altar when God does a work. Come on, somebody, let a little faith out today. Come on, let a little faith out today. It's here. I feel faith rising in the house. I feel faith rising in the house. You don't have to wait for me. If it's you, if you need a miracle in your life today, I dare you to walk to the front of this room and declare, today's my day. I need a miracle today. I'm not waiting any longer. I want the Holy Ghost today. I'm not waiting any longer. This is my moment. The preacher said it can be mine. It can be yours today. Come on, somebody. Take that step of faith. Press through the crowd. God can do it in your life today. Oh, somebody lift your hands and give God praise in this room. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Everybody standing with me around the room today. Mark chapter 5 tells us about a woman who had an issue of blood for many years. She spent all that she had. Her greatest obstacle was not the disease. Her greatest obstacle was not that she spent all she had. But when it came down to it, she had to push beyond the crowd. With people who even said, leave him alone, he's busy. But she pressed her way through the crowd. Your most difficult part of your decision today is going to be getting beyond the crowd. Can God do it when you're alone? Yes, He can. My mother was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost sitting in the front seat of a car, began to speak with other tongues. My unsaved father that didn't know anything about Pentecostalism was sitting there and thought she had lost her mind when she began to speak with other tongues. Sometime later, he showed up to church. When they gave the altar call, decided he was going to get up and walk out because it wasn't for him. He said, I do not know what happened. When I got to the row and I started to walk toward the back, I turned the wrong direction and I ended up realizing, oh, you are walking toward the front of the room. He got to the front of the room and lifted his hands. The pastor laid hands on him. He repented of his sins and began to speak in a heavenly language. Somebody in this room, if you'll push beyond the crowd, there's something for you. I feel the Holy Ghost powerfully in this room right now. If you'll push beyond the crowd right now, come on somebody, step out from where you are. Step out from where you are. There's already one walking to the front. Just join. That's it. Let's just fill up the front of this room right now. Somebody can receive the Holy Ghost today. Somebody can receive a miracle today. Somebody can receive your healing today. Come on, step out. Step out from where you are. Step out from where you are. Make it to the front of this room right now with lifted hands. Don't worry about a neighbor. Don't look around to see what somebody else is doing. I want you to begin to seek God right now. Come on, seek Him. Seek Him. Seek Him in the name of Jesus. Come on, don't wait. Come on, don't wait. Don't tarry. Don't tarry. Come on, hands lifted high all over this room. Maybe you're right in your pew, but you want God to touch you where you are. Just lift those hands toward heaven and begin to seek Him right now, right where you are. The water is troubled in this house today. The Holy Ghost is in this room for you right now. God wants to work in your life right now. In the name of Jesus. 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 Come on, everybody praying out loud right now. Don't be shy. Don't be timid. Everybody lift up your head and begin to open your mouth and pray out loud right now. Begin to seek the face of God. Don't worry about anybody around you. Don't worry about who's moving. Don't worry about who's on the platform, what they're about to sing. Just you and God right now. Get lost in your praise and worship right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, there's a miracle for somebody today. There is a miracle for somebody in this room right now. Altar workers, be sensitive to the Holy Ghost right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, it's for you today. It's for you today. Can we just lift our hands today all over this place? Would you just begin to love Him right now? Hallelujah. Lord, we worship You today. God, we feel Your presence in this room right now. Lord, I know You're already beginning to speak and to move and to begin to have Your way in lives and in situations, Lord. Lord, we give You honor today for this, Lord. We give You praise for it already, as if it's already been done. Thank You, God, for what we feel in this room right now. Thank You for the answers that are just around the corner. Thank You for the answers, God, we've received today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Yeah, what a presence of the Lord is here today. Listen, this is what Pentecost is all about. I love what He said, that you just don't know what's going to happen. I don't want to get so regimented in our schedule that we become just a regimented church. I want to leave room and a wide berth for the Holy Ghost to move in at any time, don't you? I want Him to have His way. I want Him to begin to move in our services. We've been seeing some really amazing things. I shared this with the church with the people yesterday that were here for the meeting. Since the beginning and about the middle of February till now, we've had nine received the gift of the Holy Ghost just in about a matter of 2.5 months. God is beginning to move, and this needs to be the norm.
We should come with a spirit of expectancy in the house of God. You should go with a spirit of expectancy when you have a Bible study in your home. When you pray for somebody on the job, you should expect. The Bible says you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It doesn't say that I have to. It says that you can. I believe that's what the Word of God teaches us. You should be able to pray for somebody on your job dealing with depression or oppression or a situation, and God moves through you. That's the apostolic model. And that's what we're going to proclaim and preach. I'm thankful for what I feel here today and for what everything that God has done up to this moment. And I'm thankful for what God's getting ready to do over these this next few weeks and months. Aren't you? Amen, amen, amen. Let's lift our hands one more time. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done in this place today. Thank you, Lord, for the hearts that you've begun to work on and the diseases you've already healed in this room, and we don't even know it, God. I'm thankful today for the touch of the Holy Ghost. I'm thankful today for the infilling of your presence that we celebrate today, for the overcoming power of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we give you praise for it this morning, and we give you glory for it. Amen, 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 amen. Let's put our hands together one more time. Can you help me thank Brother Jordan and Sister Jordan for their impact on our church and upon our church family today? Thank you, sir. Amen. Amen.